Two kingdoms, two kings, two value systems, two pathways, all leading to two ultimate destinations. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells of those who are enemies of the cross of Christ and how we can discern who is in God's kingdom and who is in the world's kingdom led by Satan. Today, how believers should be motivated to make a difference while still in this world. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Turn with us to Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, as we conclude a message on being motivated by the invisible world.
Their end is destruction, verse 19. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. Now, that seems to be a rather indelicate way to put it, but what the Apostle Paul is talking about is not only the physical appetite. He's talking about all of our appetites, all of our desires, which the world says we should fulfill. And these desires eventually lead, of course, as all of us know, to addictions and those kinds of things. But you only go around once in life, so what you have to do is do what you have to do to try to enjoy it. So people today are oftentimes very enslaved to their desires and very happy about it because they don't know where else to go. And I marvel when I read this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul says, whose glory is in their shame. They glory in that which brings shame. They are proud. They are filled with pride over that which brings shame. How accurate the Bible really is. And so, you see, we're a people of God who have different desires. We say, well, how do we confront the world with this? Do we, quote, impose our morality? That's not the idea. What we need is living examples of people who have been converted out of these lifestyles and who have shown the fact that you don't have to live according to the dictates of your desires. You see, this is the whole message of conversion. This is what makes Christianity so unique. It's because that message of the cross that we talked about. Actually, when we believe in Jesus, God does a miracle within us. It's called conversion. So there is something within you after conversion that wasn't there before. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And today, scattered throughout this congregation, there are many of you who could give testimony to the fact that once you were enslaved by sin, but Jesus has come to be your deliverer. You could speak about that. And the world needs to be given hope. They need to understand that there's more to this world than self-love. To return again to the city of God, Augustine said that in the city of man, self-love is so important to the exclusion of the love of God. He said, in the city of God, self-love is so despised because of our radical love of God. Now, where does that love of God come from? Can you wake up some morning and say, you know, I think it's time that I fulfilled the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Today, I resolve I'm going to be a God lover. You can't do that. You can't do that. The love of God is implanted in our hearts at conversion. And that's what gives us the impetus to fight desires that want to overtake us, that are unholy desires. It is that radical transformation of heart that makes us new people. And our love for God is not natural. It can't be conjured up. It is created within us through the miracle of God. So we've learned that, first of all, we walk in different directions. We have different desires, though certainly we struggle with the desires of the past. But the fact that we struggle is oftentimes a sign that we are indeed redeemed. And then there's a third, and that is we have different values. You notice that the Apostle Paul says they mind earthly things. That's the last part now of verse 19. They mind earthly things. Listen to the conversations that take place in the office or in normal parlance as people are talking. And what is it? It is talk about the self. It is talk about earthly values. And it's not wrong to talk about those, but oftentimes they can't raise the conversation to anything eternal or absolutely essential. The Bible says they mind earthly things. I think it is John Bunyan in his book. He talks about somebody who always looked down and never looked up. Now, how can we challenge the world's concern with itself and the self-absorption we've talked about? You know, you think, for example, again of examples, even in Scripture, of how those who followed God were motivated not by the things of this world, but they were motivated by eternal, invisible realities. It's part of a series of messages about the invisible world. And look at the motivation. We take, for example, Abraham. Abraham was willing to give Lot, his nephew, the first choice and have the best pasture land. Why? Abraham says, I know that there's an eternal invisible city that I'm going to. I don't always need the best in this life. I don't always need to compete. I don't always need to be first because I'm going beyond this life. And that's where my heart is. You take, for example, Moses. The scripture says about Moses that he said no to the things of Egypt because he looked forward to the reward, because he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so those of us who belong to the city of God, or say that we do, what we have to do is to demonstrate to the world that this is not the place where we always need to win. As a matter of fact, we can lose here because we know that in Jesus we have already won, and it's just a matter of time. And so what we have here is we have different values. And then we have a different destination. This is really beautiful. It says, well, the first part isn't beautiful. You'll notice it says their end is destruction in verse 19. The Greek word telos, teleology. I remember in philosophy we used to study teleology. Teleology had to do with the ultimate purpose of all things, the end to which all things are moving. It says regarding the citizens of the city of man, their end is destruction. Could I just look at your heart today and your eyes and tell you this, that if you do not know Christ as Savior, if you do not see the cross and the resurrection of Jesus as your only hope and you have put your trust in Him, and if you continue on in the way in which you are going, your end will be destruction. And the Bible speaks about an eternal destruction. What a warning. I urge you today to trust Christ if you've never done so. Their end, he says, is destruction. But now notice the contrast. Could it be any more graphic, any more realistic, and any more surprising? Verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it, from heaven, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Could you visualize that for just a moment? Think about the person who is sitting beside you, how they are going to look in eternal glory. And even better, what did you see when you looked in the mirror this morning? There is going to be a marvelous translation. We are going to have bodies like unto his glorious body. The body from which Jesus, of course, was raised, traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem in a moment of time. the body of glory, possibly even something like it was on the Mount of Transfiguration. See, that's why C.S. Lewis says that the person that you know may either someday be one of the most glorious beings, which, if you saw it now, you'd be tempted to worship, C.S. Lewis said, or in the future, that person might be such a horrid creature that it's the kind of creature you only encounter in horror movies. That's the difference. The Bible says that we are going to have bodies like unto his glorious body. And when that happens, we shall in that body see God. At last we shall see him. In these bodies we cannot. No man has seen God at any time. But the time is coming when we shall behold God. Augustine was a God lover. And he prayed and says, O God, no man can see thee and live. Let me die that I might behold thy face. And it is in the new resurrected body that we shall behold Almighty God. Now, in order to nail this down, so that we leave here transformed and we get our thoughts all focused on the salient lessons, let me give you very quickly three bottom lines. I suppose there should only always be one bottom line, but I want you to get your money's worth, so I give you a couple of bottom lines. The first is this, that if you're a member of the city of God, for you there is no permanent tragedy. Tragedies, yes, but no permanent tragedy. A friend dies. You're going through a divorce. Your house is being foreclosed. It's a tragedy. And we here at the Moody Church want to do all that we can, the little that we can, to walk with people through such experiences. But the Bible says, if that's happening, would you remind yourself that it says in 2 Corinthians that when we die, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens? It is not a permanent tragedy. Job loss, relational pain, not permanent, because we know that eternity is coming. As the old line says, it's Good Friday, but Sunday is on the way. There is no permanent tragedy if you belong to the city of God. But the second lesson is that if you belong to the city of man, if you belong to the city of man, there is no permanent victory. There is no permanent victory. You can amass all the wealth that you want. You can become as famous as you want. You can climb the ladder of success to the extent that you want to. In the end, you will lose it all. It will all be gone, and as we've already emphasized, the end is destruction. You take nothing with you, and you enter into a realm of pain and unending sorrow. Wow. Think about that. Your victories, over which you rejoice, the pleasures that you so much enjoy, are all temporary. Bible says that our lives are like a vapor that is here for a moment, and then those vapors are gone. In the very same way, our lives are here today, and they're gone tomorrow. No permanent victory for the citizens of this earth. Finally, the way in which you make this transfer is, of course, as I've emphasized, through the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, it is indeed because of the cross that we have the forgiveness of sins, that Jesus met all of God's requirements on our behalf. There's a sense in which I can say today, I owe God nothing because Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Those of you who are feeling as if you can never possibly please God, you're right. But there is a way that it can be done, and that is to have somebody else please God for you. And that somebody else is Jesus Christ. I urge you today to believe. There are some of you whose hearts God has already prepared for this meeting. Some of you who are in this sanctuary today, some of you are listening by other means, and you know who you are, that this is the moment to which God has brought you to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. Years ago, I told you this story, but I'll tell it again. Apparently, a little boy, possibly age 6, was lost in a city. Policemen were trying to find out. They knew his name, but they didn't know where he lived. And he didn't know his address. And then he said, you know, I live not too far from a church in my neighborhood. And they said, which church? And he said, you know, it's that church with a big cross in front of it. Well, the police happened to know almost certainly what church that was with a big cross in front. And then the boy said, if you take me to the cross, I can find my way home. And today, only through the cross, there's no other way, no other provision, can you and I find our way home. When Jesus was here on earth in order to emphasize to the disciples the importance of his death, he in the upper room said to the disciples, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you in anticipation of his death. Drink this, he said, because when you do, this represents my blood that I am going to shed. And then he said, do this in remembrance of me. And the Apostle Paul says we do it also as a remembrance to the Lord until he comes. Our nation is in great need, but at the end of the day, what it needs to hear is a word of hope given by a Savior with nail-pierced hands who came from heaven to earth to redeem us at great personal cost. Would you join me as we pray together? And for those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, you can even while you are listening say, today I believe on Jesus. God has prepared your heart for it. You've come with a burden of sin. You know now that it is through him that sin is forgiven. Acceptance and fellowship with God is made available because of his complete work. Call out to him even now and be saved. Father, do your work in the hearts of all, and we pray that you might enable all of us to be good witnesses to the city of man and its great needs, to hold up a message that is transforming, and to live lives that are consistent with what we say we believe, and we shall thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, I'm so glad that you joined us today for Running to Win. This is Pastor Lutzer. The message that you have heard is part of a larger series entitled The Invisible World. It was preached here at the Moody Church to encourage the believers in terms of our present situation, our challenges as a nation, and our challenges as individuals. But as you shall see as you listen to this broadcast, one of our great emphases is the tremendous need for us to emphasize, indeed, the gospel of Jesus Christ in our culture and in our world. And the transformation that God brings about in our life is an invisible one. It is not visible to the human eye, but you think about the great effects that it has in our lives. Well, I hope that you'll join us next time. And by the way, stay tuned, because in a moment I'm going to be answering a question that was sent to us by one of our listeners. We're always so glad for your involvement, for your questions. Thanks in advance for your prayers, and I'll see you right here next time.
You've heard Erwin Lutzer wrapping up Motivated by the Invisible World, the fifth of 8 messages in a series on the invisible world. In a moment, I'll have a word about Monday's Running to Win. First, though, a listener question about the downward spiral of the USA. Time now for another chance for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question about the Bible or the Christian life. Dark days may be ahead for America, but exactly why is a matter of some debate. A listener named John has posed this question, Pastor Lutzer. In your book on Is God on America's Side, you make a case for the downfall of America because of immorality, wickedness, ungodliness, and so on. However, not once that I could remember did you speak of Genesis 12:3 and the curses that come to nations that curse Israel. Another prominent pastor and author released a book a few months back. In it, he argues that America has been blessed because of her support of Israel and will soon be cursed because America is beginning to turn from Israel. This does not seem to be what you argue in your book. So, who's right?
Well, the quick answer, John, is that both of us are. It is true that in my book I don't make any reference to America's treatment of the Jews. Many other authors have emphasized this. I wanted to emphasize that even apart from that, America, I believe, is headed for judgment. I believe that we are a nation under judgment because you can't really explain what is happening in Washington unless you realize that there is some national blindness that is going on in this country. And so this book was written as a warning to America because of those things. Now, I do agree that one of the reasons that God blessed America is because of our support of Israel. However, I do not take it to an extreme like some people do. There have been those who have tried to say that every time we have not supported Israel, we've had a national disaster. So they've tried to correlate our support of Israel with natural disasters. I don't think that we can do that. It is very difficult for us to read the fine print of God's purposes. But at the same time, you're right. I think that we should continue our support of Israel, and perhaps that support is one of the reasons why God has blessed us. But even apart from that, we are internally self-destructing because of our own wickedness. Thankfully, in the midst of this, the church has been called by God to be faithful and to represent Jesus Christ in the world, no matter what happens. And that's the bottom line for you and for me.
Thank you, John, for your question. Thank you, Pastor Lutzer, for that answer. If you'd like to hear your question answered, go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer. Or call us at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337.
In the invisible world, there are two kingdoms. One is the kingdom of light, and the owner of that kingdom is God. The other kingdom is a kingdom of darkness, and the god of this world tries to exert authority in the kingdom of darkness, and those kingdoms come into conflict.
Erwin Lutzer tells of two kingdoms and two cities, the city of man and the city of God.
Now the question is, how do we live and manage this idea of living in both cities, being citizens of heaven as well as citizens on earth?
Some believers think the church should dominate the culture. Others try to isolate themselves from the culture.
I'd like to suggest today that there is a better view, and that is of engagement with the culture and navigating this challenging assignment of belonging to two different cities and two different citizenships.
Our series on the invisible world tells about angels, about demons, and about our glorious future as believers in Christ.
In heaven, you are going to be more active than you ever were on earth, being given assignments by God to glorify Him with perfect fulfillment and joy and freedom.
The Invisible World, 8 eye-opening messages by Erwin Lutzer, will be sent on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. Normally, we can't see angels, but they're there doing the bidding of God by ministering to the people of God. Monday, a major part of the invisible world, God's invisible agents. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.